It's not for the carnal, but it's for those who have a heart that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So those who hunger and thirst, what do you do when you're hungry? What do you do when you're thirsty? Does anybody have to make you drink if you're thirsty? Does anybody have to say, here, I'm going to make you eat this? Hope not. Same thing is true with God. I believe that we're going to see more and more things like this. This is just the beginning. You know, Jesus told Nathanael one time, he said, you haven't seen nothing yet. I got a call from one of our members, and they said that they were in prayer for victory. And they said that they felt the Lord was saying to them that we are on the brink of spiritual growth and numerical growth of a quality nature. Amen? That means breakthrough. And we're just going to let God be God. However he wants to show up, whatever he wants to do, he's going to be here. Amen? And we're going to just let him do what he wants to do. I want you to bring up Luke 24:49 for just a moment. I'm not even going to do any announcements because they're all in the bulletin. You can read them. Just will say that, men, tonight we're going to meet for the Barnabas group. And it's important to fellowship. And it's important to fellowship as men. Amen? That was an opportunity to say amen, men. Amen. And I want you to look at Luke 24:49. And he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, what if I took out an ad in the paper and I said, tarry in Palmyra at Victory Christian Fellowship until you be endued with power from on high? All are welcome. And I didn't give anything else. What power? You know, he didn't tell them what power. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. He didn't tell them how it was going to happen. He just said, show up, and the power is going to be there. But you got to wait for it. And the only reason he said to wait, because there was 50 days from the time he rose from the dead till he ascended into heaven. And today was that 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of the Harvest. And today is the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost was when God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. It was when everybody had the opportunity to be filled, be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you never know how you're going to react when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You don't know that. I can't tell you what you're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do sometimes. But just imagine, he appeared to over 500 people when he rose from the dead, but only 120 made it to the day of Pentecost. Think about that for just a minute. But thank God that 120 got something, didn't they? Changed the whole world. Well, are you ready for the word today? That's not my message today. I want to let you know something about the word of God. The Lord spoke this to me a couple days ago. He said, the greatest story ever told produced the greatest gift ever given. That gift was Jesus, and with Jesus, we have access to all of heaven's goods. How many know that God's got some goods? He's got some stuff that he wants you to have. Say, God's got some stuff for me to have. What stuff does God have? He has, number one, is salvation. Greatest miracle, when someone gets born again, they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and they begin to follow Christ. See, when you're born again, you now make Christ your standard of living. You are in a position to now follow him, follow his lead. All right? To be a Christian means to follow Christ. Okay? And so the greatest story ever told produced the greatest gift ever given. And we're going to look a little bit about that in just a minute. Amen? Has it been good so far? But you know, God's not done yet. I love God. I don't know about you, but I'm in love with God. I love how he does things. I love what he says. I love to follow him and to worship him and just being involved with his family. There's nothing like it in the world. And let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We've been talking about the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Is that true? Amen. If you haven't heard that, you can get one of our CDs from this month. We've been talking about it. But what Galatians does, Galatians ties the blessing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It connects them. Okay? And how's the sound? Is the sound okay? All right? Good. And in Galatians chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to get to Galatians 3, but just not yet. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. And if I could, do you still have the microphone? I want you to read that from the Amplified. All right? Read that from the Amplified, verse 3.
Grace and spiritual blessing be to you and soul peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
See, the King James says peace, but the Amplified says spiritual blessing. Amen? God's got some spiritual blessing. Did you know that every blessing that God wants to give you begins in the Spirit? Because God is a Spirit. The Bible says that they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. So every blessing that God wants you to have begins, its source is the Spirit of God. Amen? And he says, grace be to who? To me, to you. And peace or spiritual blessing from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. How did we get the blessing? Verse 4. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So would you say that because of what Jesus Christ has done, it's through Jesus Christ that we have access to all of God's stuff? All right? So there's some spiritual blessings here in Galatians. And go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So you are already blessed. Well, Pastor, if I'm blessed, how come I'm not feeling it? Well, you're blessed because you have access to it, but by faith you activate it in your life. Okay? It's like the blessings, it's like God's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies, okay? And you come in and you see this table. It's got new wine, living water, The word that's sweet as a honeycomb. The meat which is to do the Father's will. And it's all spread out on the table. And it's in the presence of your enemies. But if you're too focused on your enemy, you're not sitting down and partaking at the table. Which is greater, your enemy or the table? The table. Who prepared it for you? The Lord, the Good Shepherd. He's got this table before you. Now, when someone prepares a table before you, what is the normal response after someone prepares a table? What's the normal response? To sit down and eat. Does anybody here argue when it's dinner time? Say, no. I can't have dinner right now. You know? No, we don't. Maybe some do. I don't know. But we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And this relates back to Abraham. Because we're going to find out that all the blessings of Abraham are ours because we put our faith in Christ. Can you say amen? You get excited about blessing? Today, look at what God did already. And some of you might still be trying to understand what just happened. Just don't worry. Don't worry what happened. Just know that something good happened. Okay? You might not know all the work that has taken place this morning. You might not see it until a couple days. You know, sometimes God does such a deep work and it comes out unexpectedly. Okay? So I'm not going to take too much time today, but I just want to go over some of these things. The spiritual blessing, okay? And it was God who blessed Abraham. And then when Abraham gave his son in Genesis 22, that was when he offered Isaac onto the altar. God says, because you've offered your son, that was the key to him blessing the world with a Savior, okay? So by Abraham's act of faith, because God told him to offer his son, what has God asked you to offer? Has there been anything that has been so precious to you that if God was to ask you to offer it, would you offer it? There's nothing more precious than an only son that you've believed God for 25 years to have, and God says, I want you to offer him. What? You gave him to me, God. But Abraham had developed to such a point in his relationship that he was quick to obey. He spent 25 years of struggling, trying to do it on his own, getting involved with Hagar, having an Ishmael, all that mess. But finally, he understood that when God asks you something, he's ready to give it because his trust was in God. And pull up Genesis 22. Verses 18 through 13. Genesis 22, 18 for 13. I just want to show you something here. Look at verse 18. Well, 17. He said that in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. How many want to possess the gate of his enemies? Amen. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. See, the thing of it is, sometimes people don't have the blessings operating in their life because they haven't obeyed his voice. They haven't done what he asked them to do. And when we don't do what God asks us to do, that's not faith. Amen? So, you know, there was a story of a man named Jabez. And his name meant pain because he caused his mother pain while she was giving birth to him. And so the world labeled him with this label. His name meant pain. How'd you like to go around life knowing that you're the cause of people's pain? This is my pain in the side, son, you know. But you know what? Jabez refused to be that label. He said, I am not going to let the world label me. And this man Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you can look it up and read it. It's listed there for you. He cried out to God that God would bless him, that God would expand his territory and cause him not to be a pain. And guess what? God heard him. Now, if God will hear Jabez crying out to bless him, don't you think that he'll hear you? See, God will bless those who cry out for him, who seek after him, who search for him, who call to him, who trust in him. When you do that, see, the blessing is already yours. It already belongs to you. It's already been given to you. But by faith now, we have to activate that blessing in the here and now. Okay? Go with me to Psalm 134, chapter 3. Psalm 134, chapter 3. This was a powerful verse. Let's just read all the verses here. There's only three. Behold, bless you the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Oh, they're there at night. Where are they at? In the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. You know, an act of lifting up our hands is an act of blessing the Lord. And it says, and bless the Lord. Now look at verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion. When you're blessing God, God is smiling and he's blessing you back. Hallelujah. So these blessings are spiritual in nature. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Galatians. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be blessed? So many people don't realize. They don't see the value of what it means to be blessed. You know, the Lord said to Israel, he said, If you despise me, I will lightly esteem you. You know that there were people who despised God's goodness and they died in the wilderness? Oh yeah, God performed miracles every day, but still those miracles didn't generate faith in God. That just showed his goodness. And they ended up dying in the wilderness. But here in Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 9. It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Did you know that Abraham got saved on credit? The Bible says he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. But he couldn't experience the fullness of righteousness until Christ came, died, and rose again, because Jesus had to be the firstborn among the many brethren. But see, because Abraham, he believed God. God then accounted righteousness to Abraham's account. So in other words, when Abraham, he heard God. See, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The word. Are you hearing the word today? So faith is coming to you to receive and to operate in the blessing that God's already given you. So when he believed God, he stamped in his account book, in Abraham's column, righteousness, debt paid, sin released, But yet Abraham had not experienced what you and I have experienced. Because Abraham died, and Abraham went to heaven because even when Christians died before Jesus Christ came, they went to Abraham's bosom. Because he was a man who operated by faith, and when we operate by faith, we get the same blessing, Galatians 3:9. The same blessing. What blessing was on Abraham? He said, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless them that curse you, I'll increase you. I'll bless them that bless you. Curse them that curse you. Thank you. Sometimes your tongue gets a little tied, amen? So, in Galatians now, let's go to chapter 1. There are some blessings that God's given us, and they're spiritual blessings. They're yours. Say they're mine. Now, your part is to then walk by faith and walk with God, and the blessings will come to you. Okay? You've got to participate. You can't just take the blessing and live any way that you want to live. It doesn't work that way. All right? Because Christ is a higher standard than what we're used to. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we see the blessing of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. Everybody say good news. Say, I come to church every day and I hear good news. Good news. What's good news? You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You can be healed. There's a plan for your life. There's a comforter and a helper and a teacher and a guide that's been given to you to help you with everything. That's good news. There is a blessing in the gospel. Christ died according for our sins according to the scriptures. Here's the gospel. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again so that you could have life eternally. That's the gospel. That's good news. Can you see the blessing of the gospel? All right? Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. This is the blessing of justification. Knowing that a man, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You don't become right with God by following after the law. How do you do that? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. All right, so we're justified. What does that mean? You have right standing with God. You have access to his throne room. That means just as if you never sinned. That means you have a clean slate, and it's by faith in Jesus Christ. So the blessing of justification is one of the blessings that God's given us through Christ Jesus. He came to justify you. He came to make you righteous. He came to set you apart. You know, it's like Satan had this case against you. He's the prosecuting attorney, and he brings to the courtroom guilt, shame, and condemnation. He calls them to the witness stand. And guilt, shame, and condemnation begin to say how bad you are and how worthless you are. And they try to make you feel bad. And Jesus presents his blood as the evidence. I'd like to enter this evidence into the courtroom, please. Evidence, exhibit A, the blood, or exhibit B, the blood of Jesus. And Jesus presents the blood, and it's such an overwhelming argument. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. When the courtroom sees the blood and the judge pounds the gavel and he says, case closed, winner, Jesus Christ. So you have been justified. All that the enemy has used against you has been thrown out of court. And you cannot enter into double jeopardy. You can't be tried for the same crime twice. Glory be to God. So that means that the devil has no case against you. He can't bring it up again. Once your life is under the blood, you are justified, just as if you've never sinned. You have been made holy and righteous. You've been given access to the Father, the blessing of justification. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know, if someone's not obeying the truth, there's someone bewitching them, deceiving them, lying to them, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did the people on the day of Pentecost receive the Spirit? Were they all there doing the dishes? Were they all there vacuuming? Were they all there washing their cars? No. What were they doing? They were praying. They were gathered in one place and they were praying. Because it's not by the works of the law. You don't receive the Spirit through the law. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is one of the greatest blessings that God's given us next to salvation. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to each one of us to help you, to comfort you, to empower you. Last night, someone made this statement, the Holy Ghost adds the muscles to the Christian. He's the muscle man of Christianity. The Holy Ghost, because he's all about power. So how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you have to be good enough to receive the Holy Spirit? No. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. But you can put your faith in Christ Jesus alone. And simply by putting your faith in Christ, you are a candidate to receive all of God's goodness. And that includes the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? When you came up for prayer, did you have to do a couple cartwheels? Did you have to do a couple jumping jacks just so that you could receive? No. All you had to do was come up and receive. Come up, receive. Do you see how simple that is? To come and to receive. Come and believe. See, God makes it so easy for you to have the benefits of all that he's blessed you with. Because he wants you to enjoy him. He wants you to experience the blessing of God. Amen? He wants you to have the blessing of Abraham. The same way that Abraham was blessed by God is the very same way that God wants to do it for you today. And all it requires is for you to put your faith in Christ alone, not by works, not by trying to be the best or the A student or the top of your career or whatever. Simply by walking and talking with Jesus, by having a relationship with Jesus, that's all that's required. And God, you have access to everything that is God's. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I basically just call this the blessings in Galatians. And And look at verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lycurum or whatever it is, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So who was doing the signs and wonders while Paul was preaching? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is God's powerhouse. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. He gives you power to witness, power to testify, power to live. And the Holy Spirit is one of the blessings of God. He's available to everybody. But why do some people not benefit from him? Because they don't have a relationship with him. Did you know that if someone comes to help you, let them help? No, I can do it myself. No, you can't. You can knock yourself out trying to do it yourself, but it's not going to get done. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need his power operating in you. But we have the Holy Spirit. He makes the difference in a believer's life. He wants to infiltrate every area of your life. See, the Holy Spirit, he can permeate every area of your life, your mind, your will, your emotions. He can quicken your body. Those who have the same spirit, if you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, his spirit shall also be in you and shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit has a tremendous effect on how we live as Christians. He helps you produce the fruit, the spiritual fruit. You can't produce the spiritual fruit. He's the fertilizer to the fruit. Without the fertilizer, your fruit's going to be little tiny fruit. Look at the little bitty apple, the little bitty fruit of love. You need the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest blessings that God's given us. And you know what? He likes to breathe on people. Did you know you can drink of the Holy Spirit? Bible says, be not drunk with wine. This is Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you drink wine or alcohol? What happens? It changes people's behavior. It causes memory loss. It makes you give an offering to the porcelain God. But you can drink of the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you drink of the Holy Spirit? You pray in tongues. You worship. You get so caught up in worshiping God that you forget about what's happening around you. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes in, and he does a mighty work. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. He's your advocate with the Father. He brings things to your remembrance that the Lord spoke to you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that a church without the Holy Spirit can affect the community. If a church doesn't have a Holy Spirit, sometimes they're just standing in the way. Why? Because who would not want the same Spirit that was in Christ? If you're going to do his works, you got to have his Spirit. Otherwise, where's the power? It's all about you. No, it's all about him. See, without the Holy Spirit, you're going to take credit for things. The greatest thing you could ever do in life is have a relationship with God and allow him to fill you with his Holy Spirit and to work it. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make a melody in your heart to the Lord. What does that do? It causes the Holy Spirit and his power to continually be fresh and renew it and new in your life. It's perpetual. What do you do when you drive 300 miles? After driving 300 or 400 miles, what do you have to do? You have to fill up. Christians are like half full. You're only going to do half of what God wants you to do if you're half full. I'm a half-baked Christian. Who wants to eat a half-baked cake? I don't want half cake and half dough. I want all cake. I want the whole enchilada. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And today is the day of Pentecost. It's a day of celebrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what kind of power? They heard a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It was like a freight train. It was like that sound you hear before a tornado. I've heard it once in my life, that sound before a tornado. I was on my grandparents' farm, and at that time, they didn't have a basement. We literally had to hit the dirt. We had to go into this, we had to run outside into the garage that wasn't connected to the house and open this door that was in the dirt and literally get into the dirt because there was a tornado coming. But I heard that sound that it's like the freight train. I can't even describe it. I can't even put it into words, but it's a loud, boisterous. They heard a sound from heaven. It was like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. God can fill you when you're sitting. He can fill you right now. And he filled all of them. All 120 in the room were filled. Tongues of fire appeared above their heads. Hey, dude, your head's on fire. Are you a hothead? And all these people began to speak in a language they never learned or studied. It was a known language because other people said, how come these Galileans are speaking our language? All 120 had flames of fire on their heads. They began to speak in a language they'd never learned. And that attracted 3,000 people. They were having a convention in that city at the time. And all the people from all the world who were Jews were gathered in that area. You see, God has perfect timing. He knows exactly. And before the day of Pentecost, the apostles were so timid and shy. They were locked up into this upper room. They didn't know what was going to happen. Peter had denied the Lord. And he, for a short time, he went back fishing. But then he came to his senses. Listen, if you're going to go fishing, that's fine, but come to your senses. Amen. And he came back, he came to the upper room, and it was Peter who was so changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Peter that denied the Lord got up and preached to 3,000 people. You talk about a change. He denied the Lord. He denied to a little girl knowing the Lord. Three times he denied the Lord. But yet after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up in front of 3,120 people and preached such a powerful message that they all got born again. That's some power. That's part of the blessing of God. He doesn't want a wimpy Christian. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. He wants a hefty Christian. Hefty, hefty, hefty. He wants some Christians to be able to have an impact in someone else's life. He wants you to be able to share what he's done for you without fear. Fear binds too many people from sharing what God has done. That ought not be. Why are you afraid or ashamed of what God has done? But yet, we'll eat at a good restaurant, and boy, we'll promote that restaurant. You better eat here, right? We're not afraid to talk about food, but why are we afraid to talk about what God's done in our life? Oh, yeah. Because of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. The greatest thing you could ever do is to be totally saturated with the Holy Spirit. You know, he said, if anyone asks for the Holy Spirit, God will give it to him. He gave this analogy. If a son asks a father for a fish, he's not going to give him a rock. Daddy, can I have some fish, please? Yeah, here's some pebbles. Not the cereal either. Daddy, can I have something else? Here's a snake. No. If the world knows how to give good gifts to their kids, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those who ask Him? So you want more of God? Ask. You need direction? Stop and ask. Don't just keep plugging through life without consulting the Holy Spirit and consulting God, because God and the Holy Spirit are one. Three people of the Trinity, three persons. In the book of Galatians, here's what I saw. I saw the spiritual blessing. I saw the blessing of the gospel. I saw the blessing of justification. I saw the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I saw the blessing of righteousness. That Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The same way Abraham believed God is the same way that we believe God today. The believing is not the difference. Now, if Abraham can believe God, Abraham didn't have a bookstore. He didn't have a tape. He didn't have a CD. He didn't even have a Bible. How could he do so much more with so much less than we can today? God's given you a Bible. We even have Bible digitally. We have it on CD. We have it on tape. We have it on computer. We have it everywhere. But yet, that hasn't increased people's believing it. We have so much access to it, but people don't believe it. Why? I don't know. I'm asking God that question. Why, God, why? Then I saw the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of righteousness, the blessing of Abraham, all these. Go back to Galatians chapter 3, and I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready to finish up here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, notice singular blessing, that is the power. When it adds an S to it, those are the things that the power produces. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So with the same faith that Abraham used, we get a greater benefit because Abraham didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Holy Ghost living in him, but we have the Holy Ghost in us. We're in a greater dispensation. So let's kick it up a notch. Believers in Christ, followers of Christ. I'm going to say this like Elijah said it. If you want to follow other things, go ahead and follow them. But if you want, if you want those other things to be your God, then follow them. But if you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then follow Him. Amen? Because I will tell you this. Following Jesus Christ will get you to a determined end. You're not going to know where you end up if you follow these other things, because they're going to lead you off the path. They're going to lead you to destruction. They're going to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you follow Christ, if you fix your eyes on Him, and you live your life in pattern after Him, then you're going to end up in the right place where you need to be. He'll lead you on the path of righteousness for His namesake. And then I saw the blessing of the promises, because my favorite scripture is in verse 29. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It talks about how Abraham received the promises. Amen. You can receive the promises that were given to Abraham. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, you have blessed me. I receive of the blessing of God. I will set my course and I will live my life to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to obey Him, to listen to Him, and I shall be blessed in Jesus' name. And that blessing comes with no sorrow. That's right. There's no sorrow. The Lord blesses you. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and He has no sorrow with it. You're not going to be disappointed or ashamed when you follow the Lord. But there are some practical things that we can do to follow the Lord. Number one, read the Word of God. But Pastor, I'm not a reader. Then you're in trouble then. Listen, that's like saying, I'm not an eater, so I'm not going to eat ever. You do that for about 40 days, and let's see where you are after 40 days of not eating. 50 days. You got to read the Word, okay? If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what He thinks about, if you want to know what He feels about, read the Bible. Nothing can replace your reading the Bible. Don't just rely on Sunday to get the word. I got my word for the week. No, you got to do it every day. You've got to pray. You've got to communicate with the Lord. You've got to worship. Put on some Christian music and just worship the Lord. Magnify Him. Think about how great He is and talk about that. That's worship. You need to meditate in the Word. If you want to renew your mind, you got to meditate in the Word. I don't know if you know it, but we put a discipleship tip in the bulletin every week. This week's tip is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're missing out on something great. God wants you to be filled. He's given you the ability to be filled, and He wants to fill you. And when He fills you, something's going to come out like a shook up bottle of Pepsi. You know, when you shake up a bottle of Pepsi and you take the lid off, Pepsi's going to go everywhere. Okay? So that's kind of what happens with the filling of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and something's going to come out, but you got to let what's ever trying to come out, come out. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm done for now. I'm done. But if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been filled already, if you were filled this morning, that's fine. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest a blessing of God. Amen? So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come up right now. Come and dine. The Master's calling. It's lunchtime. If you want it, come get it. I, I,